You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with Pronoun. It's so great to have Elise back on the show. She was one of the earliest guests we had on the podcast, and a year later, she's back to share how much has changed with her project, Pronoun. When we last talked, she only had released an EP and was unsure on where she wanted to take her music. Fast forward to summer 2018, and Pronoun is becoming a more realized project, with the goal to record and release not just a debut album, but a series of albums. Pretty ambitious, right? Within this talk, we go into that ambition and more than anything else. We get to catch up on how life has been for us. So let's jump into it, shall we? This is the 405 Exchange with Pronoun. Enjoy. So, you know, it's kind of trippy to think you were, like, one of the first guests we ever had on this podcast.
Ooh.
Do you remember that?
I do. I can't believe I was one of the first.
Yeah, I think you were at, like, the third or the fourth or something like that, but it was kind of trippy.
That's so funny. Well, it's such a good podcast. It's kind of funny to think that it's this new.
Thank you.
Much applause. Let the record stand, or yeah. Standing ovation.
So, what's weird about this is, like, because people can only listen, they can't see us. Typically, when I do these talks, I have my phone out and I have a bunch of questions. And I definitely have questions for you, but before I jump into any of that bullshit, how the fuck are you doing?
Good.
Are you sure, though? That sounded almost like a dubious good, not like a, I don't know where I am right now.
No, everything's good. I don't know, I feel like I get asked that every day. Everyone gets asked that every day, so you're just like, good. Yeah. And then, like, inside your head, you're like, there's so much happening everywhere. No, it's good. Right now, I'm just very sweaty, so.
Yeah, same. It's fucking... This New York heat, I feel like August is trying to be worse than July usually is, because usually July, that's the fucking worst.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like at the beginning of August, it was kind of fine, and I was like, oh, this time it will be different. And now it's like 90 degrees. Yeah. Shit.
It was just my birthday this weekend, and my
happy belated birthday!
Thank you.
Much applause.
My girlfriend surprised me with, she got us a hotel room at a place right by Brighton Beach, and it was supposed to rain all weekend, and it didn't, but because of that, people didn't even bother going to the beach, so it was pretty empty.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was super wicked, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So I mentioned to you just before I did the recorder how it's going to be my first time seeing you live, and...
Yeah.
Dude, like, how do you feel about how the live show is right now? I mean, you kind of answered already, but yeah. I would love you to go into depth and just, like, describing how it feels right now.
Yeah, I mean, well, we did a tour for, like, a month and a half, and after that, it just, like, felt so much different than it ever has in, like, a really good way.
Yeah.
But I was saying before, too, this was such a last-minute show that the whole band is kind of new, because the other guys couldn't play it. So the bassist I played with, Bunch, he actually played with me for the first year of Pronoun. Yeah. And the other two guys I know from school, and they're filling in. So we only did one rehearsal.
Oh, shit.
But lucky for them, my music's super fucking easy. So I got there and I was like, everyone think they got it? I know it's pretty complex, but it's only three chords. So yeah, we'll see. It feels better on stage after like doing that many live shows. We were doing shows almost every single night in different cities.
Yeah.
And it stopped feeling like... a big deal in the sense like I used to just stress out so much and it just started being like, okay, time to play a show, which is kind of how it should be. Like, yeah. It's like, let's go have some fun and like play music. So.
Is that kind of like a trippy thing realizing you feel that way now? Because I actually remember last year when you were feeling that way about right before a show. You would talk to me about that a bit.
Yeah, I've definitely just like loosened up a little bit more where it's like, people are going to make, you're going to make mistakes. I definitely will. I always do.
Yeah.
And you just move on. And usually no one even hears them. So it's all in your head. And you can't undo them. So it's like,
it's funny you
whatever,
say,
just keep playing. Like,
it's funny you say that because like right before we hit the recorder, we were talking about like, we were talking kind of a little bit about not aiming for greatness, but aiming for making things work. But it's one of those things that I love the honesty of it.
Yeah.
Because like, it's weird how, because like, I think about someone like Jack White, where I think of this most recent record he released, he was talking about like how he was kind of loosening himself up a bit more because he realized that for as much as a perfectionist as he could be, people just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I think there's something liberating in that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
Do you feel that way almost in regards to your show in terms of like how, like, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I imagine it's a bit scrappy sometimes, right?
What do you mean scrappy?
Like...
plug in the guitar, and like if you make a mistake, you just incorporate it to the song rather than just like restarting.
Oh yeah,
you just, I can't imagine you doing that. That's actually a weird question. You restarting a song?
Like, it's actually, I remember the first show we ever played, because I had like been working in music and working with the musicians, and I see shows like 3 times a week, and I had never been on stage before. And so when I got up there, I was like, whoa, like. It sounds so different up here, obviously, because it's all monitors. It just, like, all hits you. You're like, wait. And then, like, if you make a mistake, it's like, you can't stop. And it almost got to be, like, calming that, like, halfway through the show, I was like, this is where I'm going to be and what's going to happen for the next 25 minutes. It's, like, the only time I've ever felt like this is mapped out. The next 25 minutes, you're going to be on stage playing these songs no matter what. You can't stop. You can't be like, eh, I'm kind of bored, or like, oh, I don't really feel like doing this anymore. It's like, you have to do it, and you're going to do it. And it's kind of, it was just a very weird moment where you never think about that kind of stuff when you're just watching shows.
Yeah.
To be like, oh wait, like, yeah, you just have to keep on, you can't not play. You just have to keep strumming.
That kind of goes nicely to what I wanted to ask you next, because like, I think what's really cool about talking to you now is that I feel like clearly pronoun is in a place where it's more fleshed out than it was last year, particularly with like some of the songs you've been releasing and how you've been going about things. And like, does it feel that way to you from the inside?
Yeah. It feels weird like making the new music and looking back at the old music and how easy it was, and like, it just all, like, poured out really easily.
Yeah.
I always joke that, like, after I made the EP, I was like, this is so easy. Why doesn't everyone make music? Like, this is so simple. Like, I just go home, and I sit down, and I make a song, and then it's done, and then someone mixes it, and then it's, and then we're off. And then, like, the new record, I've just been having more trouble. Like, I'm like, oh, wait, it's not that easy. Like, that was really lucky. Like, you have to sit and work for your, like, your, and especially because I'm doing it all myself, so it's, like, my only critic is me. It can't be like, no, let's move on. It's like, no, I know this could be better. Some of the songs, it's just like I released Run because it was the one that was the most closest to being done. And we were playing South By, and I was like, I have to put out a new song. And I didn't want to. I was like, I don't even think this is that great. But then like inside of myself, I was also like, well, maybe you should have fucking finished something else then. Well, you don't have a choice now, you know what? If you didn't want to put this out, maybe you should have finished another song. But since you did it, here you are. I don't know. It's all very different. It's kind of like, before all I had was the music, and now all these great things are coming and I need to make more music to catch up. It's kind of like just playing catch up at this point, which is a good place to be. But most of the time I'm finishing this album, and I have been for a while, but it's getting to the point where it's, and I had that with the EP too, where I was like, oh no, but I have to fix this thing. And then it's like a month and a half, and it's like, you're not gonna fix it, so like, mix it, like, just go. Like, there's no more like, oh, like, I'll get around to doing something else. It's like, maybe the song's supposed to be this way if you're being this, I don't know if lazy is the right word.
Do you feel like you're getting better at that? Like, letting that kind of, like, I mean, would you even describe it as perfectionism at that point? Or is it just kind of like,
it's like, not even perfectionism. It's like making something sound like you put a lot of time into it. Because I don't.
Some people would say that's what perfection is.
I know, like, the recording time that I do with songs, like, maybe takes an hour. Like, it's like loops, really easy guitar parts, and it's just like a lot of arrangement stuff. So that's not that hard. So when I'm originally doing it, it's fun, and then I kind of sit there and like listen to it over and over. I guess it's not really perfectionism, because it's more like me trying to make something sound decent.
Yeah.
Being like, I'll sit there and try to make a shitty guitar part work. I'll try to make it work for like days instead of just re-recording the part for like 15 minutes.
Fuck.
It just doesn't make sense. No. Like, I don't know like how my process works at this point. So it's definitely like a new, like, it's definitely different than it was in the beginning.
Yeah. That's crazy to think that. Cause one of the things I knew I wanted to ask you about coming up here is like, because last time we talked, it was about like the EP, and like obviously the EP was about a very specific time and experience in your life. But it's funny, even back then I was finding myself thinking like, wow, what's it going to be like when she has to write about different things?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you feel like you were conscious of that shift where it was like, of like, now I have to write about other stuff?
No, I haven't even reached it yet.
No?
I wrote so much when I was writing the EP that all these songs are from like 3 years ago.
Are they really?
Yeah.
God, is that weird?
Run is older than most of the songs on the EP.
I was gonna ask about Run. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Does that feel weird for you?
I forget. Like, I remember like finding the original demo, and looking in Dropbox and being like, oh shit, this was like before I wrote half of, like, this is before Till Your Legs Give Up and Snowed In. I hadn't even written those yet when I was, wow, had started like the run riff and like the first verses and stuff. So the hardest part actually is like I had a lot, like tons of material from that time when I was originally wanting to put out a full length, not an EP.
Yeah.
And again, like kind of ran out of time. And it's like, you're not going to finish this stuff and you should put music out, and ended up doing the EP instead, which I'm really happy I did. But so I had all these like verses and choruses, but like I didn't have any like bridges or second verses. And now going back and trying to finish them, it's like, that's hard because I'm still writing about this thing that in the first part of it is like so in it and so emotional.
Yeah.
And then you go to write the second verse and you're like, I don't even care anymore. Like, how do I get back in that place? Also, you don't want to go back to that place because you were so sad.
Yeah.
So it's been like, I've been like pretty patient with it. And every once in a while, like some idea pops in my head that's like super sad. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to write that down. And maybe I can use that in some way to help finish this song. So they're getting there.
Yeah.
But yeah, all these songs are still super old. And after that, I have like two more albums like demoed out also.
Do you really?
Yeah. The next one's... So this one's Hate My Ex-Girlfriend. The next one's Hate Myself. And then the third one is Hate the Music Industry.
Do you know what's funny? Like, for people listening who don't know you, yeah, they don't realize like how on point that is with like you as a person. But yeah, how does it feel being able to say that in regards to your music?
Great, I guess.
Yeah, one of the best things I ever heard came from this comedian, Patrice O'Neill, and he was talking about like how the best way to get over a relationship is to like not only have some distance from it, but when you do have distance from it, like some weeks or some months, you find yourself asking, what do you miss about the other person?
Mm-hmm.
And usually like within like the first like one or two answers you come up in your head, it's usually so related to vanity, and then you find yourself like realizing it's not that tangible.
Yeah.
The reason I bring that up is because I imagine there must be some of that with you when you think back to that time, because so much time has passed. It's like,
yeah, it just kind of doesn't like feel real, or it just like doesn't really. It's just like, well, that's life.
Yeah, like that happens.
Weird stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like
two other albums.
You got something out of it. Yeah, well, it's funny because like whenever I work on a song and it's like salty, I'm like, all right, that goes on this album. And then if I'm working on a song and it's like really down on myself, I'm like, all right, you're on album two. Like, I have one song called I'm Just a Loser that I play live, but we won't tonight because it's a different band. But and everyone's like, when's that coming out? And I was like, like probably 3 years, because that's about, you know, me hating myself. So that has to be on the second album. I can't put it on the first album. That doesn't fit the theme. Which will be good, like hopefully, like it's been so, I've just been constantly writing and I kind of like having these like sections of what albums they can go on, because that way I can just throw it, sorry, I'm distracted.
Yeah.
I can write about whatever I want when I'm feeling like it, and then it has a place to go and like in a theme that it can be in.
Yeah.
Just because it's been so hard writing, like, making the new material. So I'm like, well, I won't be in that place for a while because now I have all of this material that I'm just kind of, like, sitting on. And, like, when I feel like finishing it up, I can finish it up. And it's kind of stress-free. Although it's getting kind of ridiculous. I do have to put new music out because it's been 2 years.
Well, tell me about the music you put out this year. I want to ask you about that. Like,
yeah.
Tell me the story behind Run. Well, you mentioned, like, how that's a particularly old song. Did that song have, like, many versions up until the point of which you released it?
Not really. No, it didn't. I had the verse and I had the chorus, I think. The first verse and chorus for, like, really, really early on. It was, like, one of the first songs I wrote. And then it wasn't ever going to be on it. I think I was just going through demos when I was trying to, like, you know, work on new stuff. And I was struggling. And I was like, well, why don't we revisit some past stuff? And I found that. And I was like, oh, this could work. And I actually finished up the next verses, and I didn't really know where to take it, and I took a week off work in December to like finish my album, and all I finished was Run. But I finished that song. So, and I remember like sitting, I had just gotten a studio space too, and I hadn't, like, someone was in it or it was too early for me to go there, and I did it in my bedroom again, and I did like that guitar solo just like sitting. Well, I didn't do it in one take, I like cut it together because I can't play guitar that well, but like, and pushed it all together and finished it that way. And I was like, well, this grew into something that I didn't like. It made it like way bigger than I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah,
and bunch of different parts started coming up. I don't know, like that, like half of it was written very early on. The other half was probably finished like in December. So yeah, that's run. And yeah, as I said, we put it out because I was like, this is the closest thing I have to done. Actually, my roommate who mixes my stuff, Steve, did a first mix and I had fake drums on it because I was like being really insistent on like, no, I have to do everything myself and I can't play drums. Yeah. And I listened to the mix and I like laughed out loud because like, this is a rock song. Like, you cannot have fake drums on this. Like, there's no way this is passable for anything.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing a disservice to the song by being like, no, I want to have MIDI drums so that I can say that I did it myself. Like, no one even cares about that anyway. And so we went into a studio really last minute. I was with this like producer friend of mine, Ariel Lowe, who does like Yolklore and Plastic Picnic and Cave Francis. And we were having drinks and I brought that up to him and he was like, well, I actually have a studio space, the Buddy Project, that's open this weekend last minute. We can probably get it for super cheap. And I just like texted my drummer and I was like, can you do this time? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And we went in and did the live drums on it. And within like a week had like a mix and it sounded like way more like it was supposed to sound, and I'm really happy we did it. So that was the first time that we had recorded live instruments on it, so
that's
on my music. So
that's really fucking dope. The big thing though, I really am curious about, and I can't help but ask, but what else were you doing in that week off that you took off?
No, I was still trying. It's just like nothing was coming out.
Was it like writer's block almost, or is that almost like too elementary?
It's all just like trying to finish these songs that like I will always joke that it's like the first verse is like, and then like you tied my stomach into a bow and like all this like really intense like so in the moment from back when I was like really, really upset.
Yeah.
And that like I'm trying to write the second verse and I'm like, and I don't like your new haircut. You know, like it's like they start off so intense, and then when I'm trying to, I can't force it out really. And I was trying to, but it wasn't really working.
Yeah.
So I was still working on stuff. I was like making my, it's like I was still going and trying. Like I was still going to the studio, sitting in there every day, but not much like came out that I would say was, I mean, I guess it's all productive because then I ended up finishing Run at some point.
Yeah.
I think I did write a couple other verses for some other songs and stuff.
And you need to go through that to eventually get to the points where you are finishing stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I was still working on it. I was just like getting super down on myself. I'm like, it's not working. I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, start like beating yourself up. Like, why can't you do it? What the hell's wrong with you? And then you're like, you're in a room by yourself. Like, no one's even, like, you're not famous. Like, no one's sitting there like, man, if she doesn't put out music soon, I'm going to be pissed and, like, stop following. It's like, people are still discovering you. Like, so
it's good that you're aware of that, though. Yeah. I just want to ask a couple more things. One of the things was about Wrong. Like, tell me about how that track came about. You really want to talk about this?
No, though. It's just like, it's hard. I can't say exactly what it's about on the podcast. But I can tell you afterwards. But
okay.
I found out some really weird news and went home that night and found myself feeling sorry for a person that I thought I hated. So I was like, that's a weird emotion, like feeling bad for someone if you hate, but you think that you hate them, but then you don't. But I thought I did.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it was kind of a conversation like with myself, and that was pretty much all in one night also, kind of like the EP was. That is a newer one though. That one I wrote like about a year and a half ago, I would say.
How much distance of time did you have between that experience and writing the song? Like, did you find yourself writing about it while in real time?
Or just like something resurfaced. So it like brought it up again, and I was like, "Aro, I'm fucking milking this."
That's the funny thing, because us music fans, we always find ourselves wondering if that's what musicians do. And it's not even a thing that's like nefarious or even nebulous, but it's just like, that's your life.
Yeah.
Like mining your life is like literally what you exist to do.
Yeah. And like, it makes you feel like whenever I'm sad and it's like, I just want to sit and be sad, because that's what you do when you're sad.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, go work on music or something. Like, even though you don't want to, it will make you feel better.
Yeah.
And it distracts you from just laying in bed being like, thinking about the same things over and over and over and like, woe is me. Which I don't know if everyone does that, but I'm very prone to it. So
everyone does do it. Yeah, everyone does do it. Tell me about this though. What was it like doing an audio tree session? Because that was pretty
good. Actually, that was great.
Huh?
We woke up like super hungover though. Like so, so hungover. And I'm like on Instagram, I'm like, meet the bottle of water I should have drank last night. Like, we're fucked. Like, should we do an audio tree? Like, poll, like, still drunk. We got there, and we load everything out of the van, and then I go and park it, and I close the door, and I go, huh, I left the keys in the van.
Oh,
but
shit.
Open, I'm like, nope, we're locked out. But I was like, God, you're still drunk. So I'm like, whatever, we'll figure it out. At least all the gear's out. It's totally fine. It, like, had not hit yet that, like, no, we're still, I mean, at least we have to be somewhere for, like, 4 hours, like, and we're doing stuff. But called locksmith. They couldn't, or called, like, Ford customer or whatever that, like, the van has for free.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of the session, and it's on the live version, and, like, they're like, so, like, what are your goals? And I'm like, I don't know, like, to get into the van again. And then my phone's ringing. I'm like, sorry, my phone's ringing. This is probably the locksmith that's, like, trying to help us. And I'm like, it is. I mean, what are you going to do? Whatever. Can't do anything about it now. And, like, throw my phone away. And it is. It is the guy. And they couldn't get in. And then we had to get a locksmith. And that's when it wasn't funny anymore because it was, like, $250 or something. So.
Oh, God damn.
But then I got a call and found out I got a raise. So I was like, well, I guess everything works out for a reason. But it was really, really fun. It was very weird. I never record, like, with like a live band.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you don't.
And
actually,
we had been playing live shows the entire time, and it's so different, like, being in a studio and, like, having headphones on and, like, yeah, adjusting the levels, and everything sounds differently. And honestly, when we finished it, I texted my manager and I said, have fun getting them not to put that up because that is not going anywhere. And then we went in and listened to it, and I was like, oh, this sounds great. It was just like, I was like super paranoid, and I was all caught up in my mistakes, obviously.
God, I wonder,
and then you
how
go
often
in there
that must
and,
happen.
Yeah, you went in, I went in there, and I was like mind blown. Like, it's like, and they had just recorded it,
yeah,
and like hadn't even like fully mixed it yet, and it sounded like it already sounded great, and it was such a great experience. And we watched like the next night, and I was like, guys, I think we just did a good audio. Like, it was a very weird day.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It was, like, hard to process everything. It was, like, hungover. It's, like, locked out of the van.
Well,
and then we have a show. And, well, yeah.
Well, tell me this in regards to what you just said. Like, because I saw that's also up on Spotify, like, the audio of it. What's it feel like knowing that for some people that might be their first entryway to your music, in a way?
I think it's cool. Like, I think I like having that. There's like more rockier versions of it up because it is very different live. It's way more rock,
yeah,
compared to the EP. Someone on the audio tree YouTube was like, "This." Okay, cool. Someone on the audio tree YouTube like commented and was like, "This is rock. Try like sleeping blah blah blah." And I was just like, "Okay, sorry. I should have specified. But it's more rock than my other stuff."
But you must.
This is not rock, but.
But wait, Elise, that's what's funny about you. You must have loved that comment. like in your gut, you're probably like, "Oh, good."
So what do you mean this is rock? And then I listen to it, I'm like, "Okay, I guess it's not that rock, but it feels rock to me because I'm used to like really soft stuff." It's like when Yellow Card came out, and I was like, "This is metal."
Yeah.
Because all I had been listening to was Acoustic Dashboard Confessional, and I was like, this is heavy, heavy stuff.
Because
it had distorted guitars.
Super quick before I let you go, what can we expect from your eventual album? I'm glad to hear that it is an album you're building towards, by the way.
I don't know. Like, there's a lot of different stuff. It's kind of like the part two of the EP. It kind of, it goes into like the next part of a breakup where, at the beginning it was just sad, and that EP kind of is just very sad and kind of mourning. Yeah. And then Snowden kind of leads into the album well, where it's kind of like you start being like, wait a second, like I didn't deserve any of that. Wait a second, like I'm getting angry. And the record, I would say, is more strong but angry and frustrated. And I'm calling it salty emo pop.
I like that. That's kind of stuck.
It's definitely less bedroomy. I decided that bedroom pop is in now, so I'm staying that genre and starting my new salty emo pop genre. So.
Well, I'm stoked here. At least that's for fucking chatting with me, man.
Yes, thank you.